Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Charles with the Barbershop Group podcast, and today we're going to be talking to Patrice Douglas, who is based out of Rancho Cucamonga, California, and we're going to talk specifically about an issue that Black men are facing today. You know, a lot of times you turn on the news, you will see guys like Will Smith, Kanye West, Charlamagne from the Breakfast Club, any number of African-American men who are speaking out about mental health today. And although the Barbershop Group is an organization that advocates for the mental wellness of all men, we also have some very, very concentrated conversations for different groups of men. And today, again, we're going to talk to Patrice Douglas about African-American men, because Black men, I have to tell you, are sick and tired of being sick and tired, and we're seeing it. We're seeing it in mainstream media. We are seeing it in independent news. Guys are talking about it in barbershops and in other places. So we'll dig right in. Patrice, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I am well. I'm well. I'm glad that you could catch up with us today. I know that you've been extremely busy as of late, and I'm just glad to be able to get you on today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Yes, so, you know, we're talking about Black men being sick and tired of being sick and tired, Patrice, and this is something that you have a lot of experience with. You know, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of your clients that you see on a regular basis are African-American men, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, and what percentage of your clients would you say are African-American men?
I'm going to say about 85%.
85%. Wow, that is a large percentage of men that you're dealing with. And it's good to know that, to have that information, Patrice, because, you know, sometimes guys hear professionals come in, but they hear women and they're like, wait a minute, here's another woman talking about men's issues. Like, is she really legit? Well, you know, guys, if she's got clientele and she's dealing with about 85% who are men, who are African-American men, I'd say that she's pretty legit.
I say so,
okay.
Too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I just happened to see a little snippet of a video recently, Patrice, where you were helping out a talk show host, offering your services to a Black man or a couple that was on the show having some difficulties there. And a lot of guys are not familiar with you. I mean, you are really, really in the know out there in California.
Oh, yes, definitely. And I think a big part of how I got to have a niche of men's issues that I work with males that are on federal probation. So even in the clinic perspective that I work at, 95% of my clients are male. So for the past 3 years or so, men has really been my focus, especially minority men, on helping them identify why they're angry, why do they feel like they can't communicate with, you know, their loved one, why do they feel so anxious about certain things. And so it's always been my mission to always help them because they're so underserved and they're always left out. Men are always left out of mental health for some reason. Until something happens.
Yeah, this is true. And that's what a lot of people are experiencing or expressing to us is that, you know, whether you're talking about traditional mental health and psychology, a lot of men are saying, hey, you know what? Nobody's talking about my issue. Or if you're talking about religious establishments, Patrice, there are a lot of men who say, you know what, I don't feel like God is talking to me. And we're going to talk about that religious issue a little later on in the show. But I think it's important to note that a lot of men do feel neglected. And that's a difficult idea to really receive, because a lot of people have been impacted by feminism or feminist thought. So they're like, what do you mean? You're a guy. You've been in control. You've had the power. What do you mean you've been neglected?
Exactly. And I think that's one of the biggest issues of men entering therapy or understanding what's going on with them is that they don't identify with the terms that are often used for, you know, mental health as far as depression, anxiety. They feel like those are weak traits. And so when they're going through something because they don't identify with those words, they don't know how to explain what they're feeling. Therefore, loved ones or friends may not fully understand what's going on, and which in turn turns into anger because they feel like they're not being heard or understood.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, you know, we were talking earlier in the show about some of the celebrities, Patrice, coming forward. So Will Smith does a lot of motivational speaking now on his little videos, and he's also on the Red Table Talk with his wife Jada, and he's talking about a lot of issues. Jay-Z definitely has been out front talking about going to therapy. Charlamagne from the Breakfast Club, Kanye West, even though a lot of you know black folks have some issues with Kanye, Kanye West is talking about mental health, and if he's not talking about it, he's showing you some things about mental health. So there are a lot of celebrity black men who are talking about mental health, but I want to mention this. You know, it's one thing for celebrities to talk about mental health. I mean, these guys are making millions of dollars. A lot of guys next door will say, hey, well, you know what? He's got money. It doesn't matter if he's vulnerable or not. He doesn't have anything to lose. But in your opinion, Patrice, what does it mean for black men that these celebrity figures are coming out talking about mental health and wellness now?
I definitely think it means a lot to them. And, you know, a lot of them still aren't aware of these men coming out and speaking about it. And I do tend to bring it up in my sessions about even, you know, basketball players, football players. They're talking about the anxieties. They're talking about the depressions. I finally think that they're understanding that what they're feeling is not a sign of.
Looks like we lost her, but we'll try to get her back on. So we're talking about black men being sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, one of the things that I know in speaking to a lot of African-American men is that, you know, guys just don't feel like they have anywhere to go. You know, they really don't feel like they have anywhere to go. A long time ago, there were some individuals who were thinking, okay, the DSM doesn't really do justice to African American people. And truthfully, the DSM really didn't do a lot of justice to African American people. A lot of the statistics and everything, a lot of the statistics and things like that were developed based on research, from you know, whites. And it's obviously the country is predominantly white. You've got to be able to handle, you know, what they've got going on. But you know, at the same time, nobody thought to check into the 11% of minorities or blacks or the 13% of African Americans or what have you. Nobody was looking at, okay, what are they dealing with? What are they faced with? And in my own estimation, part of the reason why, you know, a lot of the white psychologists didn't really take a look at black people and the issues that they had going on was because, well, you know, it might have meant that they had to be culpable in some way for slavery, for Jim Crow, and just for racist practice generally. So you had a lot of black psychologists who were trying to do a lot more work focused on African Americans generally, and it's continuing today. Let's see if we can get Patrice back on. Patrice, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. We've got her back on, so that's good. So we were talking a little bit about, as you went away for a moment, I was just talking to the audience about some of the difficulties that African-American individuals had in terms of being served by the community of psychologists and psychiatrists and what have you, that the DSM, although the DSM is kind of in the Bible of mental health, a lot of the research didn't have anything to do with African Americans.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of the experiences that we hold, a lot of the emotions that we hold, were not taken into account of different diagnoses and symptoms. A lot of the things that we experience looks like we have severe mental illness of like schizophrenia, bipolar, but that's not necessarily the case. So when it comes to being, you know, a Black therapist, I always have to take in mind what the DSM says, but also what's really happening in my community. So it's definitely a struggle at times.
Yeah. So going back to the original question, you know, I asked you about some of the celebrities and how them opening up about therapy might impact, you know, guys down here at our level. But I also wanted to ask you, you know, I know that a lot of Black women have been involved in therapy for a longer time. I would say longer than African-American men. I think that generally Black women seem to be more open to getting therapy today. And so when I look at that, do you think that Black women and their openness to get therapy, do you think that that might be an influencer on men, for men to get involved in therapy today, or do you think that it would have a counterintuitive effect?
I think in ways it helps, especially if they're with a woman that has gone to therapy and the woman is advocating for their mental health and advocating for them to talk to someone other, you know, than themselves. I think with Black women, a lot of times.
So it looked like we dropped her again. So we were talking about the influence that women might have on Black men getting therapy, because I know when women suggest that a man should do something, you know, guys, a lot of times we don't want to do what women suggest. Okay. You know, we'll hear something that a spouse says or something that a significant other says, and we're just like, you know what? She doesn't know what she's talking about, man. I'm going to leave that alone. You know what? I'll try to figure out a different way to do it. But, you know, in truth, I think that, you know, if we want to have healthy families, if we want to have healthy, healthy children, healthy grandchildren, we got to start thinking about this and being a little bit more open. We got to start thinking about this and being a little bit more open to what our counterparts are suggesting to us. You know, everything that women or our significant others come to us with isn't necessarily a bad thing. And especially if we've got a partner who is sincerely concerned for us and they love us, then you know what, you've got somebody to walk down that lane with and experience therapy with. Let's see if we can get her back on now. Hello, Patrice, are you there?
Yes, I'm back.
Okay, great. I know it seems like you're having a little bit of difficulties today with that, but we'll get you through this. So we were talking about Black women influencing Black men to get involved in therapy. And I think that, you know, a lot of times guys just become adversarial. Again, I think that when we speak in terms of gender wars, when we speak in terms of feminism, these in some way could be proxy wars that have been fought on Black people's turf, if you will. And let me explain what I'm saying. What I mean by that is I think that where there are ideas of feminism that apply generally to all women, and I think that there are some gender disparities that apply to all people. But I think in some regards, sometimes African-American men and women can take on somebody else's fight and not really have their own issues addressed. Okay. And so, you know, I know many men who are just opposed to going to therapy because they think that it's feminine driven. But I also think that psychology and therapy is good generally for the soul, that it's soul talk. And I think that that's something that men could identify with.
Yes, and I think also the normalizing from, you know, the different Black male celebrities saying that it's okay to talk to somebody when you're not feeling right, or if you're having a problem, you know, with the relationships in your life, to, you know, get a second opinion or get some healing from the things that have gone on in your life. I think in our community in general, a lot of times therapy is used as like a last resort. We are sick and tired of being sick and tired. We literally have no other option. I guess it's finally time to go talk to someone about it. That especially happens with Black women. They're just so frustrated. They're so tired. They need somebody to replenish their energy. When it comes to Black men, I think the fact that Black women say, I support you in going to take care of yourself. If you want me to go with you, I don't mind going with you. If you don't feel comfortable talking to me about this, I support you going to talk about it with someone else. Those are the type of things that I see that inspire Black men to come to therapy. A lot of the male clients that I have at my practice, a lot of times their women was very supportive of them coming to therapy and asking, how did your therapy session go? Or if something was going on at home, when you go to therapy, you should talk to her about this because it seems like I'm not able to help you. These are the things that were really helpful for them to come to therapy and be their honest self and get the help that they needed.
Got you. Okay, great. So, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to discuss some of the different therapeutic models that might apply to Black men. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Guys are passionate sports fans, so passionate that our moods and our emotions are directly linked to the fate of our favorite team. But if your team's loss turns into a hole punched through the wall or a remote control tossed through your LCD TV screen, then you might be a little too passionate. Visit HealthyMenMichigan.org to take a free anonymous mental health screening and find tools and resources to help you get back in the game. Based on your results, you may be eligible for a paid volunteer research study. This program is funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
So, guys, today we're talking to Patrice Douglas, a marriage and family therapist out of California, and very, very well-known therapist dealing with a lot of issues that guys are facing today. And just so you know, she's also extremely experienced dealing with men, which is great. And we're talking about Black men being sick and tired of being sick and tired today. So, Patrice, you know, the next thing that I wanted to talk to you about was just the therapeutic modalities and how these things may differ for Black men as opposed to, say, white men or even Black women. So can you speak a little bit about those modalities and some of the variations of them for Black men?
I think you have to be very conscious about whatever type of treatment modalities you use with Black men. A lot of the Black men that may be coming to therapy may have tried therapy in the past and it didn't work. Or this may be their first time. So getting into really heavy things in the beginning is very difficult. I've noticed that what works well for my clients is person-centered therapy, where we don't really go by any rules. We don't have a structure of what we're supposed to talk about, what we're supposed to address. You're allowed to talk about whatever you want to. I'm empowering you to discuss what's bothering you, what you're feeling, not shutting you down. So person-centered is more about letting, you know, the man take control of the session. I think that's helpful because a lot of men feel like their voice is hidden in other things, especially in their relationships. They feel like, you know, the woman has the voice more than them. Also, sometimes men just want to kind of figure out what the problem is and move forward. They're not really comfortable with staying in therapy for a year or 8 months. And so a lot of times they can benefit from solution-focused therapy where we just focus on what the problem is. We address it. We give some coping skills and some tools that they can use if the problem comes again. And then, you know, they leave. They're done. So I think it's based off of the experience of the Black man, if they've been to therapy before, what they're looking to address, and how comfortable they are. So there are some techniques that can be used for Black men, but there are definitely some that should be used in different scenarios or if they're looking for a long-term date.
I see. So when you're talking to Black men, do you make it a point to talk to them about maybe race battle fatigue or racism and anxiety? Does that ever come up at all? Do you make that a regular point?
Yes, absolutely, because it does come up in their workplace. It does come up in, you know, their group of friends. It does come out when they're walking the streets, the restaurants, whatever the case may be. And so I always correlate that back to the feelings that they have of depression or anxiety when they're going out or when they're talking to different people or how they're being handled at work. That is probably in most sessions comes up at least two or three times in the session, for every session. So that is something that we address. It's definitely something that we can't just act like it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I was wondering about because, you know, I guess my concern is are non-Black therapists doing a good job confronting America's sin of slavery? You know, I think that's probably one of the reasons why a lot of Black men steer away from therapy is that, you know, who's going to help me address or deal with feeling like, you know, I am a minority. This is a racist system. I'm dealing with some anxiety because of race. You know, I don't think that Black men feel like a lot of non-Black therapists are going to be able to relate to that very well.
Yes, I agree with that. And to an extent, that does happen. I have had Black men that have come to me and said that they have tried therapy before with a white clinician, and they seem to be more fascinated and intrigued about their struggle as if it was like a movie being played versus helping them out. So there's definitely a mistrust with non-Black professionals, absolutely. And in a lot of ways, a lot of them, you know, stayed away from therapy because they had a bad experience. So, yes, there needs to be a lot more training and understanding. And for, you know, clinicians that are not Black, they need to really check their biases. Everybody has them. And to say, you know, that you don't see color or, you know, you don't see those certain things, you need to see that they are Black men and that they have their own issues outside of just being a man. And if you're not here to address that or you're not comfortable with addressing that, then you should not be seeing them for therapy whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah. I spoke with a younger African-American man, and he was trying to talk with a therapist about some of his just some of his own questions about masculinity and things like this. And he reported that he just felt really put off by the therapist because the therapist was trying to show him how he was receiving a benefit in society as an African-American man. And he was just saying, well, but that's not my experience. That's not how I feel. And that's not what I came to you for. Okay. He's like, you know, actually, it's kind of the other way around where I feel like somebody's always stepping on my neck. I'm always looking over my shoulder. I can't look at the news without feeling like I'm a target every day. Either I'm a target by a white racist system or I'm a target by other minorities who think that I have something to offer, and I'm struggling just like them to do the menial task. And he just felt like the therapist was not open to hearing what it is that he was expressing.
Absolutely, and I hear that often. And I think it's sometimes it's not necessarily that the therapist doesn't want to understand where they're coming from. I think they're uncomfortable to go there because they feel like they may say something that's wrong or offensive, and so they rather just not touch that. But that's not addressing what the problem is of why they're coming there. So that is a very common issue that I hear with Black men when they have tried therapy in the past, especially if they were, you know, at a university and the school offered counseling. A lot of them, you know, they didn't have Black therapists, so they did have to see you know, Hispanic or white clinicians, and that was their experience. And so some of them didn't go back to therapy for 10 to 15 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yes, and then when they finally do, they're like, okay, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to try, you know, a Black woman. And so it seems like there can be a lot of us, but there's not that many. So when they finally find that connection, you can just even see like their shoulders like come down and they just feel comfortable. They feel like I'm finally where I need to be and they can finally just let it all out.
I see. Okay, great. So guys, we're talking to Patrice Douglas, marriage and family therapist out of California. And we are talking about Black men being sick and tired of being sick and tired, because I know that if you are a Black man today, you are probably sick and tired of being sick and tired. Trust me. Well, we're going to take a quick break, guys. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
Hey guys, Riley here. If you're enjoying today's show and would like to hear more, you can gain access to member-only content by going to patreon.com/thebarbershopgroup. We aim to provide as much value as possible to you and the rest of our community, and our listeners play an important role. So if you want more content, or if you're just happy to support our mission and the other men out there, head over to patreon.com/barbershopgroup to contribute today.
So guys, we're talking to Patrice Douglas today about black men being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And now we get to one of the heavy hitting topics that I know will rub a lot of people the wrong way, but we've got to discuss it. You know, Patrice, a lot of black people, they love church. They love God. They love their religious establishments. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we got to talk about this. A lot of people have been so loyal to their religious establishments and what they were offering that made them adversarial towards therapy. You know, a lot of people, they felt like, hey, just go pray, just go talk to God about it, go talk to Jesus about it, go talk to Allah about it, you know, whatever. And, you know, they were like, hey, I'm not going to therapy. Like, that's just, we don't do that. And then, you know, when you add to it the fact that therapy tends to kind of look a little bit more liberal to a lot of conservative people. And I don't say that African-Americans are politically conservative. That's not what I'm saying. But religiously conservative, I think that there's something to be said about African-Americans being a little bit more religiously conservative. Right. So, you know, how might black conservative religious establishments and their histories be reconciled with therapy today for black folks?
Well, I think a lot of, you know, African-Americans that, you know, are very religious have to understand that there are therapists that feel the same exact way. So there are Christian therapists, there are Catholic therapists where they incorporate, you know, the psychology realm of things, but also scriptures and the Bible and faith-based things. And so I think once that conversation has been had about you can have both in the therapy session, I think everybody won't be so inclined to turn away from therapy. I think that a lot of things that happen is a lot of people believe psychology comes from a book. You're not really addressing faith-based. You're not really addressing what God wants, what God feels. That's not necessarily true. I know gazillions of therapists that do Bible studies in their sessions. They pray, they pull out scriptures, they incorporate feeding your soul while still working on, you know, your external, your internal self. So I think once we come to the understanding that you can have both at the same time, I think that will ease a lot of people's minds about having to choose between one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I definitely agree with you. I think that the line of thought has been very, very linear. It's been closed. And then obviously, too, you know, you had people in communities who were, in some cases, you had some religious leaders who were shysters. I mean, and I shouldn't use that word like that, but they were shady people. They were individuals who had dubious motives, you know, and ulterior motives. And so you, at one point, if you looked in the black church, you had pastors and ministers who were telling people not to go to therapy, you know, and I think I can speak for at least my parents' generation and definitely my grandparents' generation. Like, they were told, no, this is not something that you do. These people are going to take you to hell. They don't know what you're talking about. Okay. And I think that today, you know, now we have more individuals who are being trained across cultural, you know, issues, across religious issues, and they're able to speak to these things a little bit better. Now, you know, one of the other questions that I thought about, though, as you were speaking, though, is this: could it possibly be an issue? Could religion possibly get in the way of therapy at some point?
Yes, if you believe that all your problems, all your concerns need to just be addressed, you know, with God, you need to pray, read your Bible, take it to the altar. If you trust in Him, everything will work out. If you go to therapy, that means you don't trust in Him. Absolutely, it can definitely hinder your process of going to therapy. And that's what a lot of people feel, especially in the black community and in churches, is that if you go to therapy, that means you're not giving God enough time to work on you. You're a work in progress. You have to fast. You have to pray. You have to sleep on it. You have to trust. You need to talk to your pastor. yes, you know, God does listen to us, and he may not answer us right away. But he also said, take care of the things that you need to take care of. And so I think sometimes it does get in the way. It's almost like a disloyalty if you pray and you go talk to somebody about it.
Yeah. And conversely, I will also ask, could some therapeutic models actually get in the way of people's ideas about their religion and their faith? Could that happen?
There are a few modalities, and I can't think of the name off the top of my head, but there are some that kind of deal with more of like a new age stance where they talk about like the fire in your stomach and things like that. I can definitely see and know, because I actually went to a training on this modality, which I wish I would remember the name. But even my spirit didn't feel good about this modality of treatment they were using for people. There's absolutely some out there. And, you know, they're evolving every day. They're trying to find, you know, the newest and greatest things for modern psychology. So absolutely that it can happen. But for the majority of the ones that are used daily, no, they wouldn't ever hinder or disrespect or make you feel like it's being disrespectful to your religion. But there are some out there that, yeah, I even had to get up from the table. I'm like, this is not... I can't deal with this, therefore I can't even, you know, help anybody with it.
Wow. And, you know, and that sounds like that could almost be potentially traumatic to someone who was, you know, entering into that type of therapy with a clinician. That's pretty scary.
It is very scary. And how I got introduced to it was a supervisor of mine had brought the representative to kind of educate us on it, because I think the premise of it was for us to go to that training. They were giving a discount. But when they were talking about the fire in the moon and there was a different name for this person, this inner voice that you were hearing, it all just sounded like I was letting in something that didn't need to be in my soul. So, yeah, I did get up from the table.
I
said, this isn't for me. So there are there are some out there, but I would say for the most part, most of them do not interfere with your religious preference at all.
Great, great. Okay, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Transforming gender norms, enriching mental health, engaging in social support. These are the goals of the YB Men Project, a social media intervention created specifically for young Black men. To learn more about the YB Men Project, visit us at ybmenproject.com. The YB Men Project is funded by the University of Michigan School of Social Work, the University of Michigan Depression Center, and the Steve Fund.
So, guys, we have been listening to Patrice Douglas, a marriage and family therapist out of Rancho Cucamonga, California, talking to us about Black men being sick and tired, because we know that a lot of guys are truthfully sick and tired of being sick and tired. They want something different. They want a different lifestyle. They're tired of what's going on in their families. They're tired of what's going on in their personal relationships with their spouses and significant others. They're tired of the stuff that they're seeing on TV. They're just tired. Okay. And one of the things that I can say to you guys is, you know what? I get it. Let's go to therapy. There's somebody out there that can help you unpack a lot of this stuff. So Patrice, you know, I do thank you for your time today. Before we go, what are three takeaways you would like the listener to get from our talk today?
That Black men are human too. And for some reason, not for some reason, but there has been reasons throughout history as to why the Black man has been viewed as a superhero that can't be hurt, can't be touched, can't have feelings, and that's not necessarily true. Black men hurt just like anyone else. In fact, they hurt probably more than others. And so it's important for us to not only honor our Black men, but understand their own health issues and to be that support system for them and to keep promoting that it's okay to go to therapy, it's okay to hurt, it's okay to cry, it's okay to be confused, it's okay to not know where to get started. A lot of times we don't know where to get started with therapy. How do we get started? How do we talk to someone about that? You know, the three takeaways that I would like to give to the audience today is that, number one, Black men are human and they need to start being treated that way. Number two, there's nothing wrong with feeling like the world is coming down on you. Number three, it's okay to not be okay, but it's definitely not okay to stay that way. And our Black men cannot continue to feel this way day in and day out. That is why 7 to 8 of them a day are killing themselves, and we have to do something about it.
Wow, that is something else. That is, wow, that's something else. Yeah, so guys, you know, if you would like to follow Patrice, you can visit our website at www.patricedouglas.com, or you can follow her on Instagram at the Patrice Nicole. You know, she has a lot of interesting stuff out there, some great stats for you to take a look at on her Instagram page. Definitely if you're in the area of California, Patrice, I if I'm not mistaken, aren't you also doing some work in New York?
Yes. So my practice, which is Empire Counseling and Consultation, is located in 3 states. So, my primary office is in California, but I am also licensed in Texas. So I do see individuals through Texas through virtual online therapy, as well as New York as well.
Wow. So in Texas and New York, you can do virtual therapy for those clients.
Absolutely.
Awesome. That is really, really good. And also, just to let the audience know, you are also a certified anger management specialist. Is that right?
Absolutely. Been certified 3 years.
Okay, great. So you can really help guys start to unpack some of the issues that they may have been hiding, or just not knowing, just why am I feeling this way? Is it normal? What's going on with me? So that's very good to know. Well, guys, you know, you all have been listening to Patrice Douglas, licensed marriage and family therapist out of California. She's also doing virtual therapy in Texas and New York, and we've been talking about black men being sick and tired. We don't want you to be sick and tired anymore, and that's why places like the Barbershop Group exist. Hey, you know what? You can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Twitter, on Facebook. We have a private Facebook group called The Fresh Cut. You can come on in where it's just guys, and you can talk about whatever it is that's bothering you, man. I mean, that's kind of one of the things that we wanted to do, is create a safe space for you all to be able to discuss some of the things that you feel. And also, keep in mind that by signing up on our website at www.thebarbershopgroup.org, you'll be able to get alerts for our upcoming retreats. And so far, we've got 4 scheduled retreats starting 2019. And it's a great opportunity for you to rub elbows with some professionals who can kind of help you address some of the things that you might be dealing with. So, Patrice, I thank you for your time. I wanted to thank you for your time. And, you know, guys, the weekend is coming up. And we hope that you all will spend some time with your families. Don't drink too much. Don't party too much. But do get involved in some self-care. So, Patrice, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.